like a thing. I'm going to do a thing. What are you playing the music for? It's not that. It's not that. Stop it. Shut up.
Welcome to the Rabblecast, where
I was going to say
Dave's intro.
Podcasting never changes. And it was going to be shit, and it was going to be uninteresting, and I was going to get a token laugh from you, and then you had to fucking stamp all over it with your big fucking size 9 feet.
I had to stamp all over your terrible, terrible, terrible bit with my intro music. Hey, welcome
with
to
your shock jock fucking music board. Yeah, fantastic. And I'm the hack.
I don't know what you're talking about, Dave. So let's talk.
I know full well you don't have a very deep sound bench.
it doesn't go very far. I can try and bring up some other ones, but it kind of ruins the fun, doesn't it, really, if we're going to just...
This is one of these things where it'd be really nice if we had like a producer, like some of the podcasts I listen to. Like they have a producer who will like come in and their job, they're sat in the background furiously typing, like bringing up like clips from old episodes and stuff. I sometimes wish we had that, because we've said some deeply stupid shit in the last 4 years.
Yeah, and we will continue to do so with no producer.
Every single week.
Yeah. So let's talk about Dave. Oh, can you hear it? Can you hear the surging music?
I already did the bit, Sam. They know what we're going to talk about. I already did the absolutely hilarious podcasting never changes bit.
Yeah. Let's talk about Fallout. Let's talk about... I have not watched all this, so... Hold your horses on any spoilers.
Sake.
I haven't got them yet, Dave. I've seen like 4 episodes.
Right. Well,
but
obviously,
let's have a very quick discussion just about how actually, like, this is good. How is this good? Because we were on talking about The Last of Us previous episode, and we dived into that, and it was like, wow, this. You know, the one probably actually quite good video game storytelling that exists turns into a TV show, and it's still pretty good, great. And
it's interesting how different it is, isn't it? Now,
yeah.
The Last of Us was good because it took the source material and kind of enlarged it. And so it's like
it went deeper, didn't it? It went deeper, but not wider.
Higher resolution, exactly.
Yeah.
So they took the exact same story from A to B. And all the bits in the middle were just a bit juicier and a bit... There was more to look at and more to see and a bit more depth. Which was really, really good. And they nailed the casting. And obviously, the production values were fantastic. And so that was really good. And it was kind of like my argument at the time. Do we need it? Did I care? Like, I enjoyed it. But also, like, I already know this story. And I think that... I still argue that I think there's something just that bit more engaging for me about the way that the video game tells the story as opposed to the way that the series tells the story, which, again, refer back to our Last of Us episode for my insane thoughts on that.
But Fallout, this
Fallout's
whole series,
not
it's not that. Because what this is actually, again, it's going wider. It's not necessarily going as deep, because I don't think you can, but it's expanding the universe. And we are getting to, I think this is set after Fallout 4, and we're getting to basically explore some of, like, the other things that are happening in the wastelands. And we get almost the same type of exploration, that same feeling of, like, exploring the world and what's going on and all the other. And I think that's a really, really interesting thing to do with your TV show, and for them not to be trying to, like, ram in this huge TV show into the video game to try and get you to, like, connect the dots. Just make it, just tell a different story.
Yeah, it's like it's inspired by, so it's a story set in the Fallout universe. And what I was actually most impressed by is because the Fallout 3 and Fallout 4 are an interesting... They're actually a bit of a divergence from Fallout 1 and 2. So Fallout 1 and 2 predominantly take place on the West Coast. They take place in California. So a lot of the things that we see in the TV show, and again, no spoilers or anything, but like the NCR and Shady Sands are locations in the first two Fallout games. So this series geographically takes place in that area. And the Fallout 3 and Fallout 4 takes place on the East Coast, which is a departure from, which allowed those games to be a bit looser and a bit more free with the lore because they are separated from the existing baggage of the Fallout series, which is clever. It's clever. And then to have this series be kind of a blending of the two, because so much of the visual stuff in this game, so much of the visual stuff in this TV series is directly from Fallout 3 and Fallout 4, which are the more modern games developed by Bethesda. Yeah. And so it's this wonderful blending of the lore from the older games and the stuff that, like, again, I've used the term degenerate nerds a lot today, but I really do mean it. Degenerate nerds like myself who've played those top-down, turn-based Fallout games from the 90s. Like,
what a saddo.
I know, they're fantastic. Everyone should go and play them because they're really, really good, and you could probably get them.
But you mentioned baggage there. You mentioned baggage, though, and it is baggage in video games, because it's like boring cutscenes and long ago the NCR were blah blah. Who cares? Whereas in TV shows, you need that. You need the texture, and you need all the other stuff that's there to give you the why should I care about this type of stuff. Whereas in the games, the reason you should care is because I wonder what's over that hill, or I want to be this character. You know, you've got your own motivations. Whereas, and this is what The Last of Us managed to kind of do as well, is that you care about these characters even though you're not playing as them. And I think that is, say it, bring that bell, because we love talking about how adaptations are really difficult. But they are the singular most important thing when you're converting one format to another, is to get the adaptation right. And that's not just transferring it. That's actually changing things materially so that you can experience them in a different medium. You know, and I think this seems to me, I haven't finished it yet, but it seems to me like a almost perfect adaptation of the game.
You should finish it. I got to kind of like a stone rolling down a hill. I think I got to about episode 4, and I was like, well, I'm watching the rest.
It's 8, isn't it? 8 episodes.
It's so good, and it's only 8 episodes, and the episodes are sort of like 45 minutes to an hour long. So it's like 8 hours of TV. It's good. It's solid. And it's a good length where it remains quite concise all the way through. Again, no spoilers or anything. The best thing I think that the series captures, apart from the production design, which we've talked about a bit, and you'll have seen a lot of, like, there's so many little bits, like there's, you know, Cram, which is the spam in the background, and there's new
it's everywhere,
and it's quite a light touch where we're not stopping to focus on those things, but the series really looks like the game, and they managed not to have it look stupid. And where I thought, because ultimately, like, the power armor in Fallout is really cool, and like, but it's kind of something the series has been lumbered with, is this kind of retro futuristic technology. Not lumbered with, but because in the original 100%. Game, it's kind of like a top down. It was a 3D game, but it's kind of top down. There's a lot of like just visual artwork and stuff. It was a lot easier to put all this like otherworldly stuff in it, and then when they made Fallout 3, the first big open world 3D game, they managed really well to bring all this stuff in and still make it manageable in 2006 or whenever that game gets, 2007, whenever that game came
2008,
out.
Yeah, 7.
Yeah, to make it really, like, you know, because it was more difficult to put all that in the game, they managed to really kind of, like, capture that visual style in a really
because
cool way.
Because it looks stupid.
The power armor looks stupid, but they managed in this series...
The power armor, look. Yeah, the power armor
it looks good.
It's from the vision of a sweaty 90s video game designer. You know, that's let's make it bigger and more tubes and steel and like protruding bits of it. Like, it looks, and I think
it's
a skill.
It's this retro futurism that it's kind of like. So the art style of Fallout has always been based in this kind of like, as if the look of stuff being made in 1954, and that never advanced past that. It's just we've got all this mad technology
with nuclear generators and stuff. The other thing is the music, and that, again, oh my god, whoever decided to shove loads of this 1950s, 1940s, 50s, 60s music into this
quite a lot of that ripped wholesale from the game. Like, it's a lot of the symbiosis of
like, all of it's there, all the stuff's there, and it's there, and it's again it almost tickles you a little bit as someone who's played the video game to say, hey, remember, but not in a aggressive way. Can I make one point about that as well? Which is, I've been watching it with Nicola, and she's into it, but she's not maybe like fully invested. And because obviously it's, you know, she's like, this is weird. And I'm like, yeah, the weirdness is kind of the thing. Like the Fallout universe is weird.
It's funny.
But the violence, it was a bit like, what the? Because, you know, this head's exploding. It's all in slow motion. I'm like, having to, and I will say basically, oh, because in the game, there's this thing called VATS where you slow down the universe and you can do this and you watch in slow motion as skulls and jawbones fly everywhere. And it's, so there's all these things that I think are perhaps missing slightly from someone who hasn't watched it, but probably not enough to just, you know, distract entirely.
I think it's a pretty good adaptation of the mechanics of the video game. I think they're quite cleverly, but you know, the four episodes you'll see them be the same. There's not loads of gunfights and things. There's a few.
It's a lot of talking,
isn't
it?
You'll have seen the one in Philly with the girl.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's a couple of big set pieces, but ultimately, it's more kind of like a. It's really good in the way that the series feels like it could be, especially Fallout 3, could be the main quest in Fallout 3, like. Again, some mild spoilers, but I'm not going to get
Look for
into
your
it.
Dad. Like, yeah.
Exactly. You leave the vault to look for your dad, which is the exact same plot as Fallout 3. It's why it's such a well-balanced adaptation, because it's kind of taking inspiration from all these Fallout tropes where you're looking for your dad, or you've got to get this to fix that, or, oh, you've got to save the Brotherhood, or you've got to join the Brotherhood, or this factionalism that we kind of get. And the series touches on all of that while also kind of like doing its own thing in a really nice way, and it being set after all the video games that have come out so far kind of like distinguishes it as well, because again, it's not tied down to being like, right, well, we know this event happens in this year and blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
So it works really well, but I think the tone of how silly it is really works. There's loads of people, fans, like pointing out, like, the little brother in the vault. People keep posting like the all the perks in Fallout. So the idea was that they've all got a good thing and a bad thing, which has now become like lots of video games do this now, but this is, you know, somewhat. So you can take a perk where you're smaller, so you take more damage, but you're cleverer or something. And it's like,
got an upside and downside.
Exactly, and people have been posting all sorts of like correlations of like, oh, this is an example of that, and this is an example of that, which I love. I love that all of these fans can come and just like really dig into this series, where obviously it's been made with loads and loads of care and reverence to the source material, and like with quite a lot of input from the developers.
Yes, Todd Howard's all over it. Yeah, which is I think is right.
I was going to say people who actually fucking I respect other than
Pete,
Todd Howard.
Pete Hines, is that another I don't know. Anyway, yeah. Plus, and most importantly, it provides opportunity for synergy. And so we get like, we've got the games are all like top billing on Game Pass now. They're the most popular games downloaded. Fallout 3, 4, 76, which we have downloaded, and we are going to go play very soon. And also the Fallout 4 next gen remaster. So it kind of like, as much as I think that is, you know, business being business, but it also shows that there is still life in the Fallout world and universe. And I think that's something that I, especially after Starfield, which was pretty ropey, and I am kind of worried about the next generation of Fallout games because of how just like tired that format felt, and not just the graphics and everything, but the actual go here and do this and then come back because it's the wrong thing and have another conversation with someone. But maybe there's still good storytelling left in the Fallout universe. Maybe there is, and maybe that doesn't have to be through video games.
Yeah, and I think maybe Bethesda will have learned from Starfield, and also it'll be different people making it, and obviously this series has proven that quite a lot of the people who wrote for Fallout like have collaborated with the series, so they're obviously still in-house at Bethesda. So it kind of gives you some hope. I'd like an announcement of a new game because it's been a while since Fallout 4 came out in 2015, I think. So it's quite an old game now. It's 9 years.
Yeah.
So it'd be cool to have a new one.
God, 9 years ago,
Dave. It's just nice for the fans. Like, well, Fallout 3, Sam, that came out in 2007, came out 17 years ago.
Do you remember
Fallout
getting
Fallout 1 came out 27 years ago, 26 years ago, somewhere.
Do you remember getting that? Yeah. Just playing it just endlessly. I think we were in uni then, maybe, or
came out the year before we went to uni.
I don't think
I played it till we were at uni.
Holy shit.
But no, Fallout has been kind of like a nice revelation because I remember reading about it being developed and I kind of figured it had been shelved because it wasn't a good idea. And then it all of a sudden just came out and it was like, I was hearing from several people, yeah, like, this is really good. Like,
150...
everyone was like, this is surprisingly really good.
And, I know, a video game team really good. Is. Let's go, 150 million this cost as well, which is just insane levels of money. Like, the amount of the budget that we have for these is just insane. But when we talked about this last time in the Last of Us episode, we went back to the list on Wikipedia of lists of television series based on games. And we were like, because The Last of Us has made money, but to a lesser extent Halo, which is still going, but isn't maybe making the same cultural impact, certainly as The Last of Us, but Fallout, I think, is making that cultural impact. And we were decrying, we were saying, oh God, wait till you get these games. And so let's go to the in development section once more and just read through just some of the video games that we are going to be forced to watch because we're like, oh, I like Alan Wake. Do you want to watch
nah, keep it.
Alan Wake TV show?
Nah, no, never played it.
Assassin's Creed. Oh, maybe. Like, the lore's pretty messy, but not really. Brothers in Arms. Do you want another Band of Brothers? Probably not, but anyway. Driver, Final Fantasy, God of War.
Driver with no with the cars and no characters. Yeah, okay.
You know those games that haven't been made for like at least 20 years? Yeah, some of them. Mass Effect may be interesting. I don't know.
I think a Mass Effect series that was like this, where it takes place in the Mass Effect universe, and maybe we get the occasional, like, it's Garrett from Mass Effect, or like, it's Cerberus, the company from Mass Effect. Like, I could get on board with something like that, because I think you could make like an Expanse type, basically just adapt a good sci-fi script into
Just make the Expanse.
I think would be okay.
The Expanse.
But then this was good, Sam. So, like, I would say Mass Effect, out of the ones you've listed, is the one I'd be like, well, let's maybe see what it's like, you know? Because I really thought this would be crap. I really thought the Fallout series would be total, total garbage.
Yeah, it was lower in my expectations.
The things they could have adapted, I thought, there's no way they nailed the tone of that Ghost Games. And they absolutely do. So I'm filled with hope, Sam. I'm excited for the future. Please, please don't send me back into spiraling depression with your cynicism.
I'm feeling good. We've got some nice swing and everything's good in the world and World War II still going, so everything's great. The cost of living crisis? What cost of living crisis? There's a war in Europe. It's fantastic. You know, so let's just all fade out as we... Oh no, wait a minute. What's that? Nuclear weapons? Oh dear. Oh no.
Oh no, it's back to reality. Ugh. No, Putin, no!
Right, that's us. We are rambled. We will see you next time. Perhaps more coherently, but hey, no guarantees. See you again.